I'd invite everybody to turn to Psalm 119, 105 as we're getting set up here. Open up God's Word. I just wanted to thank the congregation for all of your support. I was in Kuwait when Penelope first started attending, and ever since I've been here, you all have just welcomed us with open arms, and just wanted to take an opportunity to thank you all for your love and hospitality, and now as a fellow member, so it's exciting. So as we open up God's Word, let us bow in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit just uses this word to touch the hearts of all those here this morning. May it help us to grow closer, more, with our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Give me the words to share, to give each one here the words that they need to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. In the celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, as we observe that celebration, God put this message on my heart that I want to share with you today, focusing on sola scriptura. And it's my goal that we all, so as I'm sharing this scripture with you today, I'm applying this message to myself. But the desire is that we grow in God's Word. So the title of the message is called Sola Scriptura Summer. So we want to grow and get into God's Word this summer. Martin Luther, one of our reformers, loved the Bible. And as I studied more about Martin Luther, the Bible was really strong to him in his entire life. And Luther believed that God's Word provided direct answers to life's everyday problems. His final note that we found on his bedside before he went to be home with the Lord read, "Know that no one can have indulged in the holy writers sufficiently unless he has governed churches for 100 years with the prophets, such as Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, Christ, and the apostles." His final words were, "We are beggars." This is true. Now, all that to say is, even though Martin Luther studied the Bible his entire life, at the end of his life, he still concluded that nobody can fully exhaust the text. Every time we come to God's Word, we can learn something new. We can grow. And Martin Luther serves as an example to us. So he's encouraging all of us here today to continue to study, keep learning and growing the more and more we read God's Word. It was once said that if you try to exhaust the text, the only one that will be exhausted is you, because you can always keep learning more from God's Word. Amen? So I just want to share with you, to be clear, the purpose of this message. It's not us getting a hold of the Bible, but it's the Bible getting a hold of us, both in our individual lives and our life here at Trinity, that we can grow and make this summer a summer of growth. Wouldn't that be great? In 3 months, we look back and we see how much God has led us to grow more closer to Him. And as a church, we continue to seek God's calling as our ministry to our community here. So that's the purpose. In the military, we say the bluff, the bottom line up front. The bottom line up front is for us all to get into the Word. Amen? So we want to look at three applications of this purpose. We want to look at three ways that as we allow God's Word to get a hold of us, we can grow in our spiritual walk. And just to help us to remember, each one of these applications will start with a D. Okay, so it'll hopefully be easy and clear to follow. So the first way that we can allow the Bible to get a hold of us is found in the passage that I read. Psalm 119:105. Hopefully everybody's turned there by now. The scripture reads, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." So the first way that we can allow the Bible to get a hold of us is allowing God's word to give us direction, to give us direction in our lives. It serves as a lamp to light our path. And I want to share with you one time where Penelope and I, when we were living in Michigan, we did some kayaking on the lakes. And I thought I would take the lead on packing the car, getting all of our camping gear ready. I had the camping gear ready. I had the boats, the kayaks. I had some food packed so that when she got off work, we were basically ready, good to go to get on the highway. So we travel and we get to the campsite, and it's a little dark by that time that we arrived. And our particular campsite, we had to go along a path to get to the campsite. And guess what? The one thing I forgot to pack: a flashlight. Right? So I didn't have a flashlight. We didn't have a flashlight to get ourselves in the car to the actual campsite. We didn't have a flashlight to try to set up the tent. So that was not one of my most shining moments, but it reinforces this scripture text that the Bible gives us direction. It lights our path each step of the way. The more we get into God's Word, the more we allow the Bible to get a hold of us, we will have a clear path, a clear direction for our lives. So I talked to a few folks that just got here, that just arrived here, and sometimes it can be difficult as you're transitioning in and getting settled. But as you allow the Bible to take a hold of you and you allow it to be a light on your path, God will continue to lead you and guide you each step of the way. There's no better place to be than in God's Word. As we continue to be in God's Word, seeking God's direction, I do want to encourage us all to always have an attitude of prayer. As you're reading the Bible, pray for God's direction as you're reading, because prayer continues to show us where God's leading and directing us. Joshua 1:8 says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." So as we allow the Bible to be the light on our path, we need to be meditating on it throughout the day, every moment of the day, just having it meditate in our hearts and our minds. It's important to do scripture memory and allow the scriptures just to continue to be that light and direction in our lives. Also, Psalms 1 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers." So once again, allowing the Word, meditating on it, being fresh in our hearts and our minds, can give us that direction, can give us that security, give us that peace. to grow this summer. Jesus models this for us specifically. Jesus is our ultimate model, and He shows us in Matthew 14, He dismissed the crowd and He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. When evening had came, He was there alone. So it shows that Jesus set that time away with his Father and spent time in prayer, spent time in that communion with the Lord. So I just want to encourage us all to follow that example. Set a quiet time up, maybe in the morning, where you're spending time in the Word and asking the Lord in prayer, guide me, direct me, be that light unto my path. The Holy Spirit provides direction for us. Jesus says, when the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes, who the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and remind you everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit is our Counselor, right? He's our Paraclete. He's the one that comes alongside and helps us bring back everything that Jesus has taught us. So be in an attitude of prayer. Be in an attitude of seeking wisdom from the Holy Spirit and trust the Lord for that direction in our lives. Okay, secondly, when we allow God's Word to get a hold of us this summer, we need to discover. We need to discover deep truths about God and ourselves. And I want us to, if you have an opportunity, to look at the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 12. I'll give you a second to turn there. But this second way we can allow God to have control of our lives is focusing on discovery. Do we have any detectives in the congregation? Do we have folks that like to discover? Any military intelligence folks that need to... So is everybody there? Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's exciting to find discovery in the Bible. Did you know that the Bible is written over 1,500 years of history? And when you think about the authors, we all know that the Holy Spirit was the one that carried the authors along as they were writing. So ultimately, God's the author of the Bible. But human authors speaking, David was a king, right? And a shepherd. We had fishermen. We had doctors. We had Queen Esther. We have so many different... Luke was a doctor. You know, Matthew is a tax collector. So we have all these different folks over 1,600 years of history, but all unified by God directing these human authors, all unified. So as the Bible, as you read it, I just encourage you to kind of just stand in awe as you read it. You know, be like a... going on a treasure hunt and digging for some gold nuggets as you read. And that will change your reading. Because the Bible, when you think about it, has romance, has adventure, has poetry, has prophecy, has some mystery to it, has history, has battles, and many, many more areas that, you know, you can curl up this summer, maybe in a chair by the pool, and this is the best read of all for the summer, right? If you look at all those different areas that you can find a discovery this summer. R.C. Sproul said, "The greatest weakness in the church today is that almost no one believes that God invests His power in the Bible. Everyone's looking for power in a program, a methodology, a technique, in anything and everything. but that in which God has placed it, His Word. God placed power in His Word. He alone has the power to change lives for eternity, and that power is focused on the Scriptures. I like that quote by Dr. Sproul, that when we apply ourselves in God's Word and discover those truths in our lives, we grow. We are transformed every time we come in contact with God's Word. Our passage talks about that it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Where is our heart this morning? The Bible, as we read, shows us more about ourselves, more about that we can discover, more areas that we need to grow, more areas that we need to trust Him in. And so the more that we spend time in God's Word, it is able to kind of serve as a check of our heart and our condition, where our heart is. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, do you recall what His reply back was? Jesus replied back, "It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus used God's Word when He was in a difficult time, when He was tempted by the devil. He went back to God's Word. We need to allow God's Word to transform us from the inside out. Do you have any Star Trek checkies here? It came to my attention on September 24th at 20:30 hours. A new show called Star Trek Discovery will be starting a new segment. And when you think about the Star Trek ships, and you think about the Discovery, they are what? Exploring, and they're investigating other galaxies and trying to learn more about other planets and so forth. So I just want to encourage us this summer in the Bible to truly discover, try to explore the Bible with excitement, try to look at it with adventure. And you have an opportunity to learn and grow more deeply in your faith, in your walk with the Lord. Sometimes what's holding us back is sin, right? And on September 11th, I was working as a hospital chaplain intern resident, and the day that September 11th occurred, I was in an operating room, actually, observing a open heart bypass surgery. And so I was standing on the stool where the anesthesiologist was. So I was looking literally overhead of a patient, seeing the human heart beating. And watching the surgeon with these big goggles to be able to, or glasses to be able to see it closely, but the surgeon saw that one of the arteries was clogged, and that's what was causing the patient not being able to breathe. And so he snipped the artery where the block was, and then he literally took some needle and thread and sewed back so the blood flow was clear through the artery, right? And so the patient was going to be able to breathe better, be able to be more healthy, and so forth. I say that illustration because sometimes sin blocks us in a relationship with the Lord, okay? And as I've been encouraging us all to spend time in God's Word, if we have that unconfessed sin, that's going to serve as a block for us to fully get the life of God's Word and fully experience the Spirit in our lives. So I'd like to encourage us all, before you get into the Word and do your study, 1 John 1:8-9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us and purify us from all unrighteousness." So if there's anything that you're struggling with today, that might be a place to start, that you confess that sin. Jesus cleanses us, purifies us, and then we are able to read God's Word. We're able to have the Holy Spirit fill us in our lives with no blockages. Does that make sense? So I just want to encourage you to discover God's Word this summer. Our final one is found in Colossians 3. So if you have a chance to turn to Colossians 3. I once had a youth pastor tell me years ago, and it served me pretty well, when somebody says turn to some of Paul's letters, this helps you in four of them. The phrase, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So when the pastor says, Colossians, you can do that little mnemonic, go eat popcorn. It can help you find the passage better. So Colossians 3. I'm going to start at verse 15, but we're going to focus on 16. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. And then verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. So our third D is letting Christ dwell. So as we allow the Bible to get completely a hold of ourselves this summer, we need to allow the Word to dwell inside of us. The word dwell in the original language actually means to inhabit, occupy, or reside. It's basically a home. So the more and more we allow God's Word to be at home in our hearts, we're going to grow, we're going to be transformed. And then as you notice in the rest of the text, if we let the Word dwell in us, it has fruit as a result. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude. The more that we have God's Word inside of our hearts, the more grateful that we're going to be, the more gratitude we're going to be, the more praise and worship that we're going to be able to thank the Lord for as a result. So as we allow the Word of God to dwell inside of our hearts this summer, we'll experience that peace. We'll experience that growth that we all desire. So I just want to encourage us all to set a plan. Just a little bit of application here. Set a plan for your spiritual, or for your time this summer to grow in God's Word. One way is you could read one proverb a day. Who knows how many chapters of Proverbs there are? 31 chapters. So if you read one chapter of Proverbs a day in 1 month, you're going to be right through the month. Sometimes you want to grow to the Psalms. So you could have a summer through the Psalms time and pick a Psalm each day. If you are new to studying the Bible, I always refer everybody to start in the Gospel of John. Start in the Gospel of John and just read through John and keep a journal. Write down some of the things that you discover in the Word, and then also write down some things that you might have questions about. You could talk to Pastor Toby or your Sunday school teacher or in your small group. And then when Sunday school starts back up, if you have any questions about the Bible, that's a great opportunity. So keep a little journal as you're reading. So as we conclude, we want to celebrate this 500 years of the Reformation. And we need to follow the examples of Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Knox, Beza, and many others. We need to allow God's Word to completely get a hold of us starting today. Before we leave today, start today. Say, Lord, I want to grow more closer to You by allowing Your Word to completely get a hold of me and my family this summer. Remember that God's Word is a direction, that He is our light to our path, that He provides us direction. He decides our purpose. God's Word also is discovery. It gives an opportunity to discover new and deep things about ourselves and about Him. And as we allow God to dwell at home in our hearts, we will be thankful. We'll be able to sing and worship with grateful hearts. We recognize that the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation points directly to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The Scriptures point directly to the Son. Over 300 prophecies in Scripture have fulfilled to the letter. Micah 5:2 says that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem, 700 years before the fulfillment. You see how the Bible is just so exciting? So we need to live each and every day more and more like Christ. As we allow the Bible to take a hold of us, we need to strive to live more and more like Jesus each and every day. Somebody once said that the Bible is 66 love letters written to us. So the more that we read the Bible, the more that we're going to be able to fall in love with Jesus. So if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to either talk to myself or Pastor Toby after the service, because that's where it all begins. That relationship with Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And then He takes you on this exciting journey in His Word. So I encourage you all to join me on this summer journey of allowing God's Word to get a hold of you. And we will be able to see what God's going to do in each one of our lives. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You so much that as we allow the Word to get a hold of us, that we grow closer in our relationship with You. Lord, we thank You for dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And we ask that we strive to be more and more like You each day. Thank You for each one here today. And I pray this message be one that will encourage each one to grow closer by reading Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of the distinctives of Reformed churches is that we believe that Word and sacrament go together. And that might not sound like all that important a thing, but just think about, for instance, how mysterious this is and how wrapped in mystery the idea of communing with the living God is. But God doesn't want us to be confused by it or to remain in the dark by it, and that this would just be an empty ritual that we do. And so the Reformers believe that Word and sacrament should necessarily go together. It sure appears that in the Scripture that when you have the sacrament, not only the Lord's Supper, when you also look at baptism and when you look at circumcision and the other things that the people of God were to do, they were in response to the Word of God. Many times the Word of God being preached to them, opened to them, and explained to them. And so when we do this, while we don't understand in fullness all that it means, we're also not completely in the dark either. the God that you worship, that you came here to see today, is not completely unrevealed to you. There are things you can know about Him, things that you must necessarily learn through His Word and through His Word alone. I remember several years ago, I have a friend of mine who makes his living as a kind of a Bible salesman. He's made a very good living as a Bible salesman. He sells rare and antique Bibles, many of which were written during the time of the Reformation. He invited me to come help him a number of years ago at a conference where he was displaying some of these antique Bibles. And as each person came by, he would explain that this is the first edition, it's a pulpit folio, or it's a smaller quarto-sized book, it's handwritten, it's got the notes of Martin Luther written in the margins, it's 450 years old, it's the first edition that was available in English, or the first edition available in German, or whatever else it was. And as a thank you for helping him sell Bibles to people, he took me out to dinner at a tapas restaurant. I've never been to a tapas restaurant. And if you've never been to a tapas restaurant, you might wonder, how is that different than other kinds of restaurants? Well, a tapas restaurant is a restaurant you go to where you get a tiny little portion of something that's kind of like a delicacy, like duck au vent, or filet mignon, or something else that I can't think of right now. They come in very small portions. And you may think, well, this is kind of the opposite of the buffet. Is it possible to actually have a very fulfilling meal having a tiny little portion of duck all around? I'm here to tell you that though the portions are not large, they are strangely satisfying. This is a tiny little portion of food that follows not the spelling of the Word of God, but the receiving of the Word of God. And though the portion is small, it's strangely satisfying. Because it's taken by faith and nourishes not our stomachs but our souls. So we ask you to receive it by faith. If you're a person who believes in Jesus and you're a member of our church or any other evangelical church, unless you're under the discipline of your church not to come to the table, we implore you to come by faith, receiving the body and blood of our Lord. We invite you by the very word of God that was given to Paul, that he received, and he said that on the night Jesus was betrayed, after the supper, he took bread, and when he broke it, he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup, and after he gave thanks, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." When we do this, we reenact the drama of the gospel and we proclaim the death, the burial, the resurrection, and even the second coming of our Lord Jesus. So we invite you to come. Before we do, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you gave your life for us, broken body and still blood. Thank you that you did not judge us for who we truly were, unworthy, and let that be the final word. That the final word for all who would believe, all who are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, is not unworthy, but Father, forgive them. Jesus, we're thankful that your blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, which cried out to God in heaven for vengeance, but your blood cries out, "Father, forgive them." Indeed, we have been forgiven. We come not to this table dressed in our very best religious clothing. We come to this table dressed in the very best blood-soaked robes of Christ and His righteousness. We pray that you would, by an act of grace, feed each soul here, young or old, new believer or mature, that you would fill us to the full with the grace and mercy that is due us by the blood of Christ, found in this meal of bread and wine. We pray now that you would prepare us to sit at your table by watching us again, renewing within us repentance and belief, so that we sit at your table with clean hands and pure hearts. We pray you would take these elements which are common to the tables of men and women, and that you would sanctify them and set apart these things to their sacred and holy use, body and blood. And though these do not change, we pray that by forsaking and pray that we ourselves would be changed and made more in the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, to whom we will be conformed in His likeness for eternity. And by this grace, we are also saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Christ for you, the church, take and drink it, all of you, in his remembrance. If you would please stand for benediction, the good word of God for you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. I have no announcements other than to say welcome again to the team that came from the States to help us with the retreat. They did an excellent job last week. Thank you. They're going to be with us for about another week or so doing various projects around here. We'd like to show them a bit of Germany and our life here. And so if you would like to have them for a meal, or you'd like to fund some taking them out to dinner, some sightseeing, please find one of these deacons, Kurt or Stephen, probably, and they can set you up for that. Thank you. Go peace. Mm-hmm.